Welcome back to the Maggie Daunt Show on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Maggie Daunt. Coming up in a half hour, it is the Dominic Salvia Show, and it'll be hosted by our producer today, Jess P.S., so stay tuned for that. I'm joined right now by Mark Sommerhauser. He's the Communications Director at Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we're going to talk a little bit more about school referendums in Wisconsin. And if you were a voter in Wisconsin, chances are in the past couple of years, you have seen a school referendum question on your ballot. In fact, we had over 100 of them here just in the fall. In fact, 139 total. So if you were a voter in Wisconsin, you have seen these on your ballots. Mark, I appreciate you joining us here today, because I think this is a topic for a lot of people that can be really confusing. Like, what am I voting for? What am I voting on as far as school referendums go? But also just in the context of where things kind of stand with everything else happening in the state in terms of policy, in terms of pushes by legislators, I think school referendums are kind of a fascinating area because it affects so many people. Thank you for joining me today.
Good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Mark, well, let's start with this. The report that you that the Wisconsin Policy Forum put out shows that we had a record number of questions approved, and we also had a record amount approved in the fall election, and for the 2024 year, we had a record number. And I know there's a lot of ways we can go about this, but there's a lot of reasons for this, right? What are some of the factors and why we're seeing so many questions appear on ballots?
Yeah, so that's right. We did see a record number of these questions put to voters, who then in turn approved a record number of them in 2024. And you know, school finance is obviously a complicated topic, but there are a few factors that are kind of playing into this. You know, certainly inflation is a significant one. Over the past few years, you know, the same inflationary pressures that many of your listeners have felt in their household budgets are also affecting the budgets of school districts. There's been a lot of pressure to increase wages for teachers and other school district employees, and that is definitely one factor that's contributing. Certainly one factor that's not a new thing. It's something that's been ongoing for more than a decade now. The state imposes what's called revenue limits, which are a limit that each school district has on the amount of revenue they can take in from the combination of the money that they receive in state aid and the money that they levy in their local property tax levy. And those revenue limits have not been increasing at a pace to match inflation for more than a decade. And so there's a cumulative effect over a number of years when, you know, you've had year after year when those revenue limits have not kept pace with inflation. It has put more and more districts in a position where they feel compelled to put these referendums on the ballot. And you mentioned in your intro kind of what some people might feel like, what even am I voting on here? And just to be clear, you know, these referenda basically allow the school district to exceed that state imposed revenue limit, to increase their property tax levy above what the state would otherwise be limiting them to do. So that, you know, those factors are definitely two of the biggest ones. Of course, there are other ones as well, but those are two of the biggest factors, I think, in terms of why we're seeing so many of these questions on the ballot.
We saw that 70% roughly passed here in the fall, which, you know, seems like a good number compared to, you know, earlier elections this year. And of course, elections last year when, you know, we, you know, for districts, you know, struggling to get out of the 50% ranges for some of those elections, it seems like 70%. It felt kind of like a win, just kind of at its face. But when you look at historical data, it sure seems like, you know, for a presidential election, you know, 70% for the districts that passed it, of course, they feel pretty good. But 70% passage rate in a presidential election, how does that compare to past elections?
Well, I hope to kind of take a long-term view on this, because the answer is that that's a lower rate of passage than the most recent several, you know, major election years. By major, I mean like a presidential or a midterm election year. That's a lower rate. So the peak was kind of in 2018 when we saw almost 90% of these referenda get approved. But 2018 was definitely an outlier. That was the high point. And since that time, we've really seen a declining passage rate. But if you go back further in time, you know, into the aughts, into the 90s, 70% is still a pretty high approval. You know, in the 90s and the aughts, we were routinely seeing rates of approval for these referenda that were 50% or even lower. So, you know, the kind of long-term trend is we saw these approval rates really increase quite significantly in the 20-teens. And then they do in the 2020s, see, they do seem to have ticked back down a little bit, but are still relatively high compared to where they were 15 or 20 years ago.
Talking to Mark Sommerhauser, he's the communications director at the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we're recapping a bit of the year in school referendum. You know, one piece of data that was shared in your report that I found really fascinating was and how it was tied to sort of the public sentiment towards public education, right? So there's data from the from Marquette University's law school poll and from, you know, just looking at the passage rates. It was really interesting just kind of seeing how those the trend lines, the arcs kind of went with each other in that. And I know that the public sentiment towards public education, it's like a lot of things. It kind of depends on what you vote for broadly. But I found it really fascinating that the referendum rate and the public sentiment as measured by the Marquette University Law School poll, it just seemed like the data points really strongly went with one another.
Yeah, it really tracks pretty well. And a lot of credit to Marquette Law School and Charles Franklin, who runs that poll. He fortunately asks a question on that poll that is very relevant to this discussion. And he's been, and even more helpfully, he's been asking it since 2013. So now we have more than a decade of these survey response data. We can kind of see how the public has felt about, this question. And just so your listeners know that since 2013, the Marquette poll has asked Wisconsinites, which is more important to you, reducing property taxes or increasing spending on public schools, right? Which is essentially the question that voters are weighing in on when they vote on these referenda. And that number has gone up and down somewhat. When he first was asking the question, that was not long after the Great Recession in 2013. So you had, it was pretty close to 50-50 at that time. In the later 20-teens, we started to see a pretty solid majority of folks saying they actually favored increasing spending on public schools over reducing their property taxes. But we have seen in the last few years that start to flip around. And I think, again, just another impact of inflation, I think, is got to be at least a part of what's going on there. Because as more households are feeling the squeeze of having to pay more for a lot of different things, it does seem like more people are saying, I would prefer to have the property tax cut over increasing funding for my local public school.
And Mark, that's a fascinating idea, because when you talk about school referendums, it sometimes isn't the only referendum on the ballot. And we've seen it, more frequently in recent years, that it's not just schools going to referendum, but it's school, or it's counties and it's cities and municipalities that are also seeking to go beyond the levy limit. Now, I know that the last budget and legislation has started to address some of this in terms of revenue sharing, but when it comes to talking about school referendums, it's not in a vacuum if it's the only thing on the ballot. There are other ballot measures that have come up as well here in recent years, right?
That's correct. And in fact, if for those of your listeners who are residents of the city of Madison, they know that on their ballots here this November, they saw both a school district referendum and a city of Madison referendum on the same ballot to exceed the state imposed limits and be able to increase property taxes above what they otherwise would have been limited to. And that's still pretty unusual for voters in a community to see, or a school and a city referendum at the same time, but it is probably going to happen more now that we're seeing both very high rates of school districts going to these referenda, and now more and more, as you said, cities, villages, and counties, towns doing these referenda, which that used to be very unusual until fairly recently. It's still not nearly as common as the school district referenda, but again, it is becoming more common.
Mark, I want to ask just a bit too about last year's biennial budget and how that might have affected things for school districts, because when you look at it on its face, that all this extra money goes into education, some of it to public education, some into vouchers. There were things like increasing the caps. There were things like increasing the per pupil aid. How do you think that generally affects maybe what happens in this next budget cycle, knowing that public education was such a hot topic in the last budget? And I think some legislators and maybe some members of the public feel like education was already addressed in the last budget cycle.
Yeah. So there was a significant provision in the most recent state budget. In the prior budget that was passed in 2021, the state lawmakers did not increase revenue limits for school districts at all. They kept them flat. They did change course somewhat in the most recent budget here in 2023. They increased those revenue limits by $325 per pupil in both years of the biennium in 2024 and 25. So that was a significant increase, but coming on the tails of 2 years in which there were no increases at all, you know, some districts are in a position where they're saying, you know, those increases were just not enough for us to keep pace with inflation and some of the cost pressures that they're seeing, which, you know, to be clear, are always first and foremost about personnel. You know, that's always by far the biggest cost that school districts incur is just paying teachers, paying staff, paying administrators. And, you know, we have seen somewhat of a bidding war in some parts of the state for, you know, really highly qualified teachers because kind of separately from the issue of inflation, you know, we've seen a lot of teachers now retire out of the workforce. And what we're hearing from a lot of school districts in many parts of the state is there really is quite a shortage of qualified teachers that they were not necessarily seeing 10 years ago, but that due to really a wave of retirements and some other factors, you know, there's quite a squeeze that a lot of school districts are facing to be able to hire enough, you know, really highly qualified teachers.
I'm talking to Mark Sommerhausen. He is with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. And Mark, just a couple more questions on the topic, because, you know, again, this is something that affects, I think, a lot of people when you talk about school funding. And it's going to be, you know, one of, if not the biggest topic that comes up in this next budget cycle. And I just want to start with the ask of the DPI and our education head here, our state superintendent, Dr. Jill Utterly, in the money that they are seeking. And a lot of the money is tied in the ask to how schools are reimbursed for special education funding. And I think this is probably an area where, you know, I think, you know, for a lot of people, maybe the math can be hard to understand sometimes, but essentially, you know, schools are reimbursed at a certain rate for special education costs. And the ask this year, a big portion of the billions-dollar ask is to increase that reimbursement rate for schools. You know, how, you know, just from a policy perspective, you know, with the budget surplus and everything, it doesn't seem likely that all of the budget surplus is going to go to public education. But I'm curious about, you know, what mechanisms or maybe the likelihood of something happening in that regard, just given that this continues to be a very important topic for legislators.
Yeah, so there's no question that's going to be one of the most significant parts of the state budget debate, as it always is. You know, state aid to school districts is the single biggest chunk of the state budget. So that's always a contentious topic. You know, the state superintendent's proposal is certainly an ambitious proposal. She is proposing, as part of her budget request, that there would be a per pupil revenue limit increase of $425 per in each year of the next biennium. She's also looking at some other areas here where she wants to really significantly increase the rate at which the state reimburses school districts for special education costs. Right now, that reimbursement rate is quite low. It's just a little above 30%. She wants to increase that all the way up to 90%. Which again is a really ambitious proposal. I think, you know, fair to say that under the current, you know, Republican majorities in the legislature, it's unlikely, very unlikely that they're just going to pass that request as is. A lot of the debate goes back to the fact that, you know, the state superintendent is saying, well, we have this very historically very large budget surplus, about a $4 billion budget surplus. She's saying, hey, you know, it's time for us to take some of that surplus and invest it in our public education system. You're going to see, of course, on the other side of this, a lot of lawmakers in the majority, they're going to be seeking to use that surplus for tax cuts. And so that's going to be a lot of the tension that's going to be happening in that budget debate. And of course, there's many other areas of the state budget as well that are going to be where you're going to have stakeholders that are going to be seeking funding increases as well. So that's part of the debate that's going to be had.
Mark, would you be willing to stick around for one more quick segment just to wrap up the topic?
We can stick around for just a little longer.
All right, Mark, we'll have Mark back on right after this. This is the Maggie Don Show on Civic Media.